Welcome to another episode of the Cinebros Podcast. It's just me and Luke today. Luke, say hello.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show.
And Luke, what are we going to be doing today?
Tyler, the two of us are going to be talking about movies that we feel are underrated and underappreciated.
We most certainly are. Luke, would you like to go ahead and start off with your movie pick?
Sure, I will. So my movie came out in 2018, and it's a modern science fiction. And it is a science fiction body horror movie, which just from that makes me automatically be interested in it. I love that kind of stuff. But it's called Upgrade. Tyler, you've heard of Upgrade, right?
I have heard of Upgrade. Not a single person saw it.
See, that's the thing. You're totally right. It made like no money at the box office. It got like a limited release.
I have heard that movie is very good. I've heard it's, I've heard it's like a really kind of innovative sci-fi movie in a lot of ways. Oh,
it's amazing. Yeah, it's great. So for anybody who hasn't heard of it, it's called Upgrade. It's written and directed by Lee Whannell, who you might not know who that is from his name, but he's done all kinds of stuff. He co-created the Saw franchise with James Wan, which everybody knows about the Saw franchise. And he created and has written all of the Insidious movies. So has a pretty lengthy background in horror. And he also wrote and directed this movie that I'm talking about and the movie that came out just several months back, The Invisible Man, which is really awesome if you haven't seen that. Tyler, you saw The Invisible Man, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I really liked it.
Oh, yeah. It's really good.
Speaking of The Invisible Man, not that movie, but maybe something related to it will appear on my list.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So, yeah, Upgrade. So it is about a guy. His name is Gray, and he's played by Logan Marshall Green, who, you know, to kind of sum him up, he's one of those guys that you don't really know his name, but you know his face. He's like a dollar store Tom Hardy, just about. If I could describe him to you, they look pretty similar. But he's an amazing actor who doesn't get a lot of recognition. He does a lot of small, low-budget indie horror movies is mainly where he sticks in. And he plays Gray in this movie, a guy who lives in a dystopian future where people drive automated cars and have robotic cooks at home who make all their food, all kinds of stuff like that. And after a horrible accident, which I want you all to see this movie, so I'm not going to get into very many spoilers. I'm just going to kind of get into the basic plot synopsis. But after a horrible accident that leaves him paralyzed, Gray is given the chance to have this thing called STEM. It's like a microchip implanted into his spine, and it allows him to walk and perfectly function. But also, and this is where the body horror action-y element kind of kicks in, is just from STEM kind of starts talking to him and has like a voice kind of talking to him. It reminds you almost of like a Siri or an Alexa or something like that, but it's in his ear and only he can hear it, right? And it basically, on voice command, just from Gray saying something, it turns him into a killing machine, which leads to a lot of awesome action sequences within the movie. So a lot of things about this movie that are amazing is this movie just had a budget of $8 million. And if you watch this movie, you would think the budget was in like the $50 to $60 million range. The special effects are unreal. I mean, they all look great. And it's always super impressive when I see a filmmaker that can work with a low budget. Of course, Lee Whannell, the first Saw movie, I think is just like $1 million budget, or not even that, maybe. It's really low. So, of course, Lee Whannell's been dealing with low budgets for his whole career just about, and he does a great job here. Do you just making the effects look very believable. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Out of curiosity, do you know the budget of The Invisible Man?
I don't, but it was also like less than $10 million, right?
Let's look it up.
Okay.
Honestly, like, there is nothing in that movie that should have been that expensive.
Right.
Let's look it up. It made $134 million.
Oh, yeah. I knew it made a lot.
Yeah, $7 million. So, yeah, you were right. Less than $10
million. See, and that's the thing. Lee Whannell is so talented, and he's so good at using low budgets. And
the cinematography in that movie was really good.
In The Invisible Man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like the shots of like the exterior of the house look really, really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Upgrade is just, I mean, I could gush about this movie for a long time. I won't. I'll keep it brief. But basically, this movie is kind of him coming to terms with the fact that he's now like an expert killing machine. And it's really cool because when Stim is like perfectly countering all of his enemies' moves and taking out guys ruthlessly, he still has control over his own mind. Stim just has control over his body. So while there's a scene in a kitchen that's actually kind of funny, the stunt work's really good, but it's actually kind of funny because his arms are like perfectly fighting this guy and just completely annihilating him. But his head is kind of, he's freaking out. He's like, every time he punches a guy, he's like, I'm sorry. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like it just, it's like, hilarious looking.
That kind of sounds like Venom, like with Eddie Brock and Venom fighting and Eddie being like, oh God, oh, this is not, oh, I'm not doing this.
I mean, that's a perfect comparison, Tyler. It's pretty much just like that. And it makes for some pretty hilarious moments. And it's funny because throughout like the first 30 minutes of the movie, it's kind of getting going and you're kind of like, says this a little bit of a horror element and I'm not really getting like a horror vibe. It's not very violent. And then all of a sudden, the first time that he kills a guy, when he has Stim in him, that's like using all this awesome, it's almost like karate moves, but the first fight scene, the way he dispatches the guy is like the most brutal thing. And it comes out of nowhere. And you're just like, oh yeah, this director has worked in horror movies, and you can tell because it's so gory all of a sudden. And the movie, it's funny. It is really violent, but only in like a couple scenes. Overall, it's not that violent, but when the violence is there, it just, I mean, it's pretty disturbing. But overall, I really love Upgrade. Logan Marshall Green's awesome. The futuristic world, like even the self-driving cars and stuff, it all looks real. The fact that the budget for this movie was so low is really impressive. I feel like this movie can appeal to all kinds of people. Like if you like sci-fi and futuristic stuff, then this will be up your alley. If you like horror films and like brutal violence, it'll be right up your alley. And I mean, all kinds of stuff like that. If you like kind of body horror kind of stuff, like maybe some Michael Cronenberg movies or something, then you'll love it. I mean, I don't understand why more people didn't see this movie. I guess it was just because it wasn't spread out to a lot of people, maybe with the limited release it had. It's like a shame that this movie wasn't as big as it was.
Now, Luke, I'm gonna ask if you've seen the movie. Have you ever seen the movie Kin?
No, but I remember at the theater we had it. We had the poster up for a while.
Yeah, we had it at the same time that we had Upgrade, and I would always get the two confused.
Okay.
I kind of want to watch that movie.
Yeah, I really haven't heard anything about it.
I haven't either.
I know it's like a science fiction movie, but that's literally, and I think it's got James Franco in it, and I think that's about it.
Yeah, it does. I've seen the short film that it's based off of, but I've never actually seen Kin.
I didn't know it was based off a short film. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. But anyway, so Luke, your first movie was Upgrade. My first movie, it might be a little unconventional pick if we're talking about like underrated movies, because it did get a lot of Oscar praise when it came out. It had tons of nominations. But as time's gone, I think opinion on it has kind of changed a bit for the negative, and I really don't see why. Mine is the film adaptation of Victor Hugo's Les Mis.
Okay. Like the 2012 Tom Hooper one?
That one. Yeah. Have you seen it?
I have seen it, and I'm not into music. And you know this, Tyler. I'm not really into musicals at all. Mm-hmm. But I really like that movie. I don't know what it is about it, but something about it I've always enjoyed.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it myself. I'm currently reading the book, so like I'm on a big Les Mis kick at the moment, which is kind of influencing this pick. And so for context, the book is like 1,400 pages long. It's one of like the longest books ever written. And the movie is 2 hours and 40 minutes. So in order to, and I'm listening to the audiobook alongside reading it, and the audiobook is over 60 hours long. So obviously to truncate it down to 2 hours and 40 minutes, you are going to be losing some characters, storylines, themes, something like that. But I really thought that the film did a really good job of just trunking it down into a story that still worked and still got like the central message of the original work across. And for context, I am not by any means a musician. I know next to nothing about music theory. And that is one of the biggest criticisms people have with this movie. They really think that some of the songs weren't the best in their, like, how they were written for the movie. They didn't really like some of the casting, which I really disagree with, because Russell Crowe is, like, the biggest one that has been singled out for criticism. And yeah. I've seen...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And did you like his performance, Luke, if you remember?
I mean, his acting was good. You know, he's not a vocalist. I'll just say that.
I don't know. See, I really, really enjoyed his singing. I thought he was really good. Like I said, I don't know anything about music, but, like, I find him pleasant to listen to. And I've seen plenty of other adaptations of this in, like, a musical theater version. And he is by far my favorite person to play Javert. Like, I think he's really good. He really comes off as intimidating and driven to find Jean Valjean, who's played by Hugh Jackman. I think he's really good, and I really cannot understand the criticism of him.
Well, it's just the voice thing. I mean, the emotions and stuff are all there. It's just his vocal performance just isn't that strong, but I don't think it's like a big, like some people act like it's just a big negative to the movie, and I don't think so. I mean, I like the fact because, you know, Tom Hooper insisted that all of the actors most musicals is like dubbed over, but they all sang in their regular voices. And I think that, I don't know, it added to like the realness of the movie. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, his performance was okay. Obviously he's not a singer. And I mean, that kind of comes through, but I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, he's not terrible. Some people think he's horrible. I don't think he's that bad.
Nah, I like I said, I really, really just liked his voice. And I will say there's like a video on YouTube that's like close to 20 minutes that's explaining why all the music in the movie version of Les Mis is terrible. And I have watched it. And I still just don't see it. I really enjoy those songs. And like, as a film, like the set pieces are like really good. They really get across like the epicness of the story. So Les Mis was my pick.
I mean, Anne Hathaway, that's got to be like Anne Hathaway's best performance.
For all the criticisms people have of the movie, everyone is pretty universal in thinking that Anne Hathaway was the best version of Fantine. So she would definitely be the highlight of the movie, if you will.
Did she win supporting actress?
Yes, she did.
Okay, yeah, that was well deserved. Hugh Jackman's really awesome too, and I mean he's Hugh Jackman, so he's always awesome.
If you listen to like the original musical performance, like with the original cast, Eddie Redmayne sounds almost identical to Michael Ball, who played the original Marius Pontmercy.
Okay. Yeah. See, this is like the only Les Mis thing I've like seen. Like, I haven't read the book because I probably could read it, but it'd take me a couple years, so I probably won't. But yeah, I mean, as someone who just watched this movie kind of just as like a musical, not having seen anything else or read anything about it before, I really enjoyed it. It's a pretty solid pick. And yeah, Eddie Redmayne's a really good singer, and I wouldn't have ever thought that, I don't think. But he does a really good job.
Yeah. Oh, and did you know Russell Crowe is actually in a band?
He's in a band?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's not the greatest, but like I like it.
I mean, that's kind of cool. What genre would you put it in?
It's kind of like rock. Like not like full rock, but kind of rock.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. I mean, that's pretty neat. I wouldn't have thought that. Is he the lead singer?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
So, Luke, what is your second pick?
So, my second pick, and I'm not even kidding, came out the same year as Upgrade in 2018. And I'm sticking with some modern movies for my two picks. And I'm going to be talking about Tully. Tyler, have you seen this movie?
No.
See, and that's the thing. A lot of people didn't. So Tully stars Charlize Theron and Ron Livingston as this middle-aged couple who they have some young children. They have, of course, like a young baby, and he's at work all the time. And when he's, you know, the husband, Ron Livingston's character, is at work all the time. And when he's not at work, he's coming home and playing video games and not spending any time with Charlize Theron. And basically the first like 20 minutes of the movie is Charlize Theron's life is just like, I mean, I'm sure all kinds of moms can relate to it, is her life is pretty miserable at the moment. Just, she's always worn out and nothing really goes her way. And then all of a sudden, like out of nowhere at her doorstep, this nanny shows up and her name's Tully. She's played by Mackenzie Davis, who is a fantastic actress who's been in like a lot of stuff recently. Tyler, you've heard of Mackenzie Davis, right?
Yeah, I have. Is she a redhead?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, she's in I think she's like the prostitute in Blade Runner 2049, I think.
And no, that's Ana de Armas. No, never mind. That was a dumb thing I just said.
It's all right, Tyler. I forgive you. No, just mess around. But she's in that, and then she's in Terminator Dark Fate, which she's really good in that movie. That movie is not good, so I don't recommend that movie, but I do recommend Tully. So this nanny named Tully shows up at her doorstep, and they form like a bond, and it's basically about how this person who kind of came into their life spontaneously impacts everybody in the family. You know, it impacts, it strengthens the relationship between the husband and the wife. All the kids are getting along better. Tully and Charlize Theron's character are becoming good friends. It's just a really kind of feel-good movie with a big, big twist at the end that you better believe I'm not going to spoil. I definitely recommend you check out this movie. So a totally different movie than my first pick. This is like a, you know, comedy drama. I feel like a lot of like, you know, middle-aged women would probably appreciate this movie the most, which is cool. It was written by a woman, Diablo Cody, wrote this movie, who's like an Oscar-winning screenwriter. She wrote Juno, which I really liked Juno a lot. And it's directed by Jason Reitman, who also directed Juno. So it's like the fourth movie that him and Diablo Cody have collaborated on. But yeah, this movie is a really feel-good movie, just basically about how, you know, the message being that, you know, we don't really appreciate moms as much as we should. And I really like that idea as a premise. I feel like that's not explored in movies a ton. And I love the fact that, you know, both of the lead characters in this movie, the strongest written characters in the movie, are women. I think that's really neat. And it's written by a woman. And I think it's a really fresh perspective on like the whole household dynamic. And it's just a really good time at the movies. I really like this movie a lot. Of course, the acting's good. Charlize Theron, Mackenzie Davis, Ron Livingston. I mean, the acting's great. Good script. Yeah, I recommend this movie. It's a lot of fun.
Even though I haven't seen it, I had heard of this, and I'm not going to lie, Luke, I thought this was a horror movie.
Did you really?
Yeah, that's very inaccurate, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's probably the farthest thing from it, yeah.
Oh, well. But you know what is a horror movie?
Uh-oh, what is?
My
what is
second pick... Dracula Untold.
Oh my. This is a hot take.
Yeah, right here.
I've heard nobody like, you're the first person I've heard like this movie, if I'm being totally honest.
I do have this up, and it has a 24% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 40% on Metacritic. Yes. Yeah, nice. So very much in the negative on this movie. However, I really enjoyed it. I really, really did. I enjoyed it a lot, actually. So, funny story. We had went to go see, as a family, Alexander's Very Bad, Horrible, Awful Day, or whatever that movie is called. You know the one I'm talking about with Selena Gomez?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we went to go see that, but then the projectors messed up and it actually started playing Dracula Untold. And yeah, so obviously it is not a kid's movie, but me and my dad, we were like, man, that looks pretty cool. We should actually go see that. So we did. And yeah, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good action movie. It's not, I didn't really find it scary at all. It's really like an action movie. And I kind of came up with this one on the fly, so I don't remember like too much about like, you know, anything about it. I just remember really enjoying it. I thought the atmosphere was really cool. I really enjoyed their take on Dracula. And I thought the story was really good. I was really invested in like the characters and the way the story was progressing. And it ended on a cliffhanger. And I'm so extremely upset that the Dark Universe is like failing, because I'll never get a sequel to it.
Well, you can think that dumpster fire called The Mummy.
Yes, I can.
From a couple of years ago.
Yes,
that movie's awful. Can. By the way, guys, that movie is absolute garbage. I don't recommend it. Love Tom Cruise. Don't like that movie.
Yeah.
But no. But this is the one with, it's got Luke Evans in it, right?
That is correct. He plays Dracula.
Okay. Yeah. So I haven't seen it. I've definitely heard about it, and I've heard about it because I've heard only bad things. So yeah. It's kind of cool that you like it this much, because you kind of are actually making me want to go check it out.
I really want you to watch it, Luke. I really want to see what you think of it. It's a very different take on the character of Dracula than we've ever seen before. He is like portrayed as like a prince, which is not normally his thing.
Right.
Yeah, but it does fit with like the historical version of Dracula, Vlad the Impaler. So yeah, like the whole royalty angle kind of works well. And he has like a wife and son who are major portions of the movie. They're really good.
Well, that actually sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, check it
I
out.
I will say, my, yeah,
check it out.
Oh, my favorite Dracula movie, really vampire movie. Well, no, not vampire movie, but Dracula movie is probably like Bram Stoker's Dracula, like the Francis Ford Coppola one from the 90s with Gary Oldman. That's like my favorite.
That's the one where Keanu Reeves plays Jonathan?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is...
I've heard he's not great.
He's not. His English accent's horrible. But if you can get past him, he's just one part of the movie. So he's in it a lot, but if you can get past him, it's really good. Gary Oldman is just... he's fantastic in everything he's in. But yeah, so yeah, you've sold me on this movie. This is a pretty neat second choice. I wouldn't have really thought about this movie, but yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever read Dracula, Luke?
I haven't.
One of my favorite books. It's written in a very cool way. It's not written as a normal story. It's written through the journal entries of the characters. And
okay.
It's really good. It's a really good mystery book. Like a mystery / horror type book.
Well, that sounds pretty awesome. Because I really, one of my favorite Stephen King books is Carrie. And that's written in like the whole thing is like newspaper articles and stuff. And that sounds kind of similar a little bit. Like in the fact that it's like a collection of different documents and stuff. So that sounds pretty neat. I saw the Dracula play from like 2 years ago at Paramount that one of my buddies and a frequent listener of the podcast, Alex Messer, shout out. There you go, big guy. But he was in that play, and he does a really good job in that. But yeah, so the play was really good, and it kind of made me want to go watch, or kind of made me want to go back and read the book, but I just never did. But yeah, I've always been kind of intrigued by, like, old-timey vampires, like original vampires, not like the Twilight sparkly vampires, but... Not to hate on Twilight too much, because I know people like that. So maybe people listening to us like it, but I do not.
Yeah. But anyway, we're going to bring this episode to a close. If you have enjoyed this episode, you can follow us on all of our social media. Cinebros Podcast on... Cinebros P on Twitter. Cinebros Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you're not watching on YouTube, we have a YouTube channel just called Cinebros. Look out for our yellow reel icon. Mm-hmm. And if you have Reddit, we do have our own subreddit at r/Cineverse Podcast. Luke, any final words for the listeners?
Thank you all for listening, everybody. Appreciate the love and support. Also, be on the lookout for new 5-minute movie reviews coming out Monday nights at midnight. My newest one that's out now is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And of course, I got a couple more Halloween themed reviews coming at you soon. And that is exclusive to the Cinebros YouTube channel. Check out the yellow reel icon when you're looking for that, like Tyler mentioned. But yeah, thanks for watching, everybody. And listen.
And we will see you. Bye.